Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Sing it, Mark. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of news, our co-host, Melissa Kay.
Good morning.
Head of production and our co-host, Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
We have the head of the kitchens open, Beth Habhager, with us as well.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your week out there. Thanks for hanging out with us. We're going to have some fun this hour. We're not only going to get into some good stuff in a little bit with entertainment, we'll also get into dictionary.com's word of the year. Got that one coming up for you. But it's a Monday in the 9 o'clock hour. You know what that means. No. No, no.
Oh, Playmakers.
I'm so sorry. Sorry. That's not it. That's where is it? Where is
Under
it?
Marvin. Under Marvin.
Is it that one, Seth?
Yep, you got it.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry, everybody. I'm just trying to make the segment longer.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Kitchens Open on WFHR for this Monday, December 2nd. Thanksgiving has come and gone, and so we're not going to talk about...
Oh, please don't say leftovers. I've already eaten more leftovers than any one person should have.
No, we're going to...
Talk about holiday baking, cookies, pies, and caramels.
Actually, we're going to talk about fritters.
Okay.
Wait. We're in the midst of the holiday season, and you're not going to talk about holiday baking?
That's right. Ooh. We have several more weeks for that, and many grocery stores and other businesses have already put out their holiday cookbooks for resources and things like that. So instead, I thought we would celebrate National Fritter Day.
Oh, okay. So what exactly is a fritter? Aren't they just donuts that are flat? You know, they kind of... Although some aren't super flat. They look kind of like little mini mountains, if you're big enough. It's like stuff connected together.
Yes, yeah, something like that. Little mini mountains, I like
mini
that.
Mountains. That's what I like to call my fritters.
Yes.
Well, according to Merriam-Webster.com, the definition of fritter is... As a noun is a small mass of fried or sautéed batter, often containing fruit or meat.
Ooh.
Now, forgive me, y'all, but aren't fritters a Southern thing?
Well, according to, not really. Southernliving.com shares corn fritters aren't a particularly Southern dish. It's just that Southerners really love corn fritters. For breakfast, lunch, or as a side dish at dinner, these crispy fried bits of doughy corn are welcome all year, but especially when the corn is still just picked sweet.
Okay, but fritters aren't just made from corn.
No, I wasn't quite sure of that, so I did a little bit of digging. I was curious to find out where fritters got their start and where they can be found. So Britannica.com, do you remember those encyclopedias, the Britannicas?
I love those.
Well, now that whole set is online, makes things a lot easier to find. Yeah. So according to Britannica.com, they had to say this. Fritters are found in many cuisines. The French baguettes, Italian
I don't know.
I thought I'd ask the Italian.
I didn't see you looking over at me. I'm sorry about that.
And the Greek, la code madais.
Ooh.
I've heard that very loudly shouted, yes. That's pretty much a word for word.
There you go, yeah.
All right. Are sweet cakes of the first type of fritter. The batter frying technique was introduced into Japan by the Portuguese and Spanish in the late 16th century. The tempura that developed, a mix of shrimps, herbs, and vegetables, has been totally incorporated into the cuisine. The India pakora, so that's from India, is a savory deep-fried cake containing bits of cauliflower, eggplant, or other vegetables. Fritto misto is an Italian dish of bits of meat, seafood, and vegetables dipped in a batter and fried in, of course, olive oil.
Right. Oh, wow. Right. That sounds good.
A specialty dish of various local cuisines is the flour fritter.
Okay.
Using daylilies, roses, violets, acacia, elderblow, or squash blossoms.
Okay. Huh. Nice.
So dayoftheyear.com elaborated, stating, the first known written record of fritters dates back to 1665 when Samuel
Pepys. That's how that's pronounced.
So Pepys. He's my Pepys?
Yep.
Okay, gotcha.
He's also the inventor of Pepys.
There you go.
Why did he spell it that way?
I don't know. When Samuel Pepys, a English Parliament member, mentioned them in his diary. The Industrial Revolution in the 1780s further popularized fritters by making flour production easier, thereby making fritters more accessible to the masses.
Okay, so this has got quite the history then. In other words, fritters come from all kinds of places.
They do.
They have their own spin on all these things, and that's very cool.
Yeah.
I love the global, I love the world feel to this, that it's kind of made the rounds all around the world. That's really cool.
I'm so sorry I didn't hear anything after olive oil. I was writing down, the Italian one. I was like, I got to admit, I didn't realize how much history there was till fritters.
Right.
I was looking at this over the weekend. It's so cool. It's very interesting, and it made me very hungry for fritters. That doesn't happen with a lot of these segments.
Yeah, right.
Well, good. I'm glad this one did. Today is National Fritter Day, which is why I wanted to focus on this. And the neat thing about this is that each culture has made it its own. There's the common thing is the batter and frying things up.
Right.
But they've each gotten their own spin to it. So it's a reminder that we're all really the same. We have our own takes, but we're diverse in how we do things.
Yep.
Music is close to it, but I don't think there's anything that's a better example of how much we have in common than food.
Absolutely.
We'll be able to take something that's, you know, specific to one culture and then make it your own and put your own spin on it, which is, that's not only cool, it's so creative to find ways doing that.
It really is.
So nowadays you can find fritters that are both savory and sweet, made with meat or are completely vegetarian. There's even, I found this fascinating, there is a fritter festival in New Zealand.
Another reason to go to New Zealand.
There you go.
That would be fun to attend. I wonder if they dress up like hobbits and fritter about.
Oh, gosh.
Fritter about.
Where's my wah-wah?
Yeah. That's a different kind of fritter there, so.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So let's stick to the fritters that you eat, okay?
How complicated are they to make?
Well, it depends on what kind of fritter you want to make and whether you fry them or bake them. I found an easy recipe for baked apple fritters on the Conscious Plant Kitchen, because, you know, that's so easy to say.
Right.
That's their website name, too. Oh, my gosh.
That's a tough one.
TheConsciousPlantKitchen.com.
Yep.
So here's how they make their fritters. You preheat your oven to 400 degrees and line two baking sheets with silicone mats or baking parchment paper that is safe to use with an oven broiler. So you need to double check and make sure you have the right kind of parchment paper. Oil the paper generously with cooking oil. Peel, core, and dice 2 cups of green apples, about 3 apples or so, into small cubes, and then you set those aside for a little bit later. Then mix together 2 cups of self-rising flour. If you don't have self-rising flour, you can use all-purpose flour. Just add 4 teaspoons of baking powder to it, and that's what helps it rise. And then add 1/2 cup of sugar or any granulated sweetener substitute and whisk to combine. Then you fold in 1.5 cups of cinnamon applesauce and stir until it forms a thick, moist batter. But don't overmix it. It's similar to pancakes. You don't want to overdo it. Fold in the 2 cups of green apples that you previously cubed and prepared earlier, and that stir that in to completely incorporate everything evenly. Drop heaping tablespoons of batter onto the baking sheet. Leave a thumb-sized space between each fritter. Now, I know we all have different sized thumbs, so just make sure that you have enough room for when it
When they rise.
In the oven.
I got huge thumbs over here.
Mine are a little bit smaller than yours, James. So my thumb size is going to be different than yours. But the point is, make sure that you have enough space so that they're not going to bake into each other. Don't make them too big or it will compromise the texture. So after you've dropped them on there, it's going to make about 27 small fritters. And that's why you want to do it smaller. You don't want to have the texture be something that you don't like.
Right.
Place it one baking sheet onto the center rack of your preheated oven, one sheet at a time, keeping the second one on the kitchen countertop while you bake the first one. So this isn't something that you're going to do them both at the same time. Bake the fritters for about 18 to 21 minutes or until nicely golden brown. Remove the baking sheet from the oven and turn the oven broiler on to 420 degrees. No more, as the baking paper could
burst into flame
if you go over 425.
Right.
So 420 is about your max. Meanwhile, make the glazing by stirring together 1.5 cups powdered sugar, 2 to 3 tablespoons of almond milk or whatever variety of milk you want. I could not use the almond milk because that would kill one of my sons.
Yeah.
Kind of like him alive.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I would use regular milk or possibly even the protein shakes, like a vanilla protein shake.
Mm-hmm.
And then add 1 tablespoon of vanilla extract.
Mm.
For crispy baked apple fritters, brush a little bit of the glazing on top of each warm fritter and broil on the top rack of the oven for about 2 to 3 minutes, keeping a close eye so that you don't burn them, because broilers will do that very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
When golden brown, remove from the oven, let them cool for about 10 minutes on the rack, then dip them into the glaze and return them to the rack to let the excess glazing drip down.
Oh, okay.
Or eat it and let the glazing drip down your hands.
Oh, yes. I love that.
Which sounds so much better.
It's so good.
Oh, my gosh.
2 quick things. One, bet that people heard this recipe, sounds really good to them. They like it, but they're driving right now, couldn't write it down or anything. Is there somewhere they can find the recipe?
Well, we're going to make sure that this gets onto the show notes today.
Cool.
I'll make sure that Laura gets that put on. Mm-hmm. So if you go to WFHR.com, you look up the morning show. The segment, and it'll be there.
Mm-hmm. And not so much a question as a new rule. A new rule for this segment. If you're talking about a food, you have to bring this food in. I want fritters so bad right now.
Oh my gosh. So there when we lived in North Dakota, there's kind of a landmark in West Fargo called Sandy's Donuts. And they were the one of those places that everyone loved and went to and all that stuff. And Beth would go there, you know, occasionally with meetings with other clergy, all the kind, when she went into town.
Or I'd take Roan there Anders was born, just to have some special mom and son time that he didn't feel left out with a new baby.
Exactly. She would bring me these gigantic blueberry fritters that they had there. They were big and they were awesome. Oh my God. They were so delicious. Oh,
I'm getting a fritter as soon as I
yes, yes, yes. But the ones you're talking about making here, they're like smaller ones. They're not they're not the really big ones you
Correct.
Can get at like a bakery or something like that.
Correct.
But
and you can
still they sound delicious.
The nice thing is go online, go into your favorite search engine, type in fritter recipes, and I even added easy fritter recipes if you're kind of daunted by this, because it can be very daunting to try to bake something you've never baked before.
Mm-hmm.
This recipe seemed very easy and it seemed a little bit healthier because you're not frying the fritter.
Mm.
You're baking it.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, if you're going to do fritters fried, you might want to have a thermometer that you can use in your oil so that you can make sure you have consistent temperature in your oil. And that was one of the reasons why I didn't go with a fried one and I went with a baked one, because this one seems like one that if you have an oven and you're interested in trying something new, you can pop this one in.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool.
So this recipe is just one of many you can find, like I said, searching online and going through, or go through your cookbooks. You may have one of these recipes at home you can try.
You didn't even know.
Exactly.
And as Beth was telling us, these segments are always a highlight on our Monday mornings. We'd love to have a sponsor for them as well.
That's right. I'd love to highlight a business or restaurant during this segment. So if you're interested in more information about how to make that happen, just give us a call at 715-423-1300 and speak with Pam. She'll put you in touch with Ashley, and you all can work out the details.
That number again, by the way, is 715-424-1300.
Sorry, thank you. 424.
A little typo there. 424-1300 to get a hold of Pam.
And go ahead. And with that, we'll close the kitchen.
Yes. Fantastic segment.
Yes.
Nicely done, Beth. Nicely done. We
Delicious.
Appreciate that. And appreciate you. We look forward to hanging out with you again very soon, Beth. Thanks so much. We'll have another episode for you next Monday, everybody, of The Kitchen's Open. Be on the lookout for that. Coming up, we got our monthly Veterans Update with Tom Heiser, some entertainment news, and plenty more coming up right here at WFHR.
Tell me something good.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We hope you are having a fantastic one out there. Every month at the beginning of the month, we are joined by our great friend Tom Heiser with our monthly Veterans Update. Tom is in studio with us today. Tom has his headphones on, Melissa, so he can hear you.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks so much for being here. Appreciate the time, as always, and everything that you and so many put into our community. And Tom, let's go ahead and get right to it. I know we have a couple of fun things we want to touch on today in honor today.
Okay, no problem. Actually, yesterday was the Civil Air Patrol was established in 1941, going back a little bit in history.
Mm-hmm.
On Tuesday, we have the Allied Vets meeting out at the VFW post at 6. And December 7th, date lives in infamy. Pearl Harbor was attacked in 1941. And this Saturday, December 7th, we're having an event out, the Pearl Harbor celebration ceremony at the VFW post starting at 10. And one of the people that comes over is this gunner, whom Melissa just happened to have interviewed for her show. He kind of runs the program over there. It's about an hour long is all, so it's really interesting.
It was a really interesting conversation you had with Gunner Melissa.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He is a fantastic storyteller.
Encourage anybody who might have missed that, be sure to check that out at our civicmedia.us.
And Community Stories. It was the pilot episode.
That's right.
Yeah.
Did a real good job with that, Melissa.
Well, thank you, Tom. Your story's great, too.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Tom, do not underestimate yourself, sir.
No, right. I had to split him into two. Yeah. He's in two episodes.
Yeah, that's right.
He's such a good story.
Deservingly, yes. And thank you for noting that, Tom. I appreciate it. I think especially for a lot of our younger listeners out there, and I mean even people in me and Melissa and Seth's age range, we need to be reminded of not only that day, but what that day meant to our country and going forward, how there are a few days in American history that changed our history and the way our country would look the rest of the world after that one.
Exactly. And the stories are getting fewer and fewer because there's fewer and fewer World War II vets remaining. Yeah. And it's open to everybody. It's free.
Yeah.
Show up and learn something. Be a lot of veterans.
And you said 10 a.m.?
Yes, this is at 10 a.m. And as far as veterans being there, going back to a military term, it's a target-rich environment because there will be a bunch of veterans out there.
Well done, well done.
Also on December 7th is the Nakusa Christmas Parade.
Yeah.
Annual event. And please talk to your weatherman because we'd like to be a little bit...
We're going to work on that. We'll work on that one for you, Tom.
We are the weather woman, but we'll get in touch with her.
We'll get on that.
And then on Sunday, December 8th, war was actually declared on Japan, the day after Pearl Harbor. Yeah. The day to live in infamy. And Tuesday, December 10th, is Auburndale Coffee with the Vets. And also in there is that Morning Joe and Doe over in Stevens Point. And Wednesday, the 11th, is the Heroes Cafe. It's the only one in December because it's the next Wednesday. Christmas.
It's Christmas.
And then the 11th is also the American Legion Post 9 meeting. And then on December 11th is when Germany and Italy declared war. It took a day to get it.
Interesting thing to note about just our history, our world history and all that. I'm glad you noted that.
Thank you. The 12th is the VVA's Chapter 101 monthly meeting. And also that night is the Rudolph American Legion Post meeting. And then on December 13th, we're having a military honors training out at the VFW that is free and show how to, when you have an event like a funeral or something, why things are the way they are, why the flag is folded the way it's folded. It's a very good learning experience for if you want to attend that.
Just randomly asking this question. Say somebody runs a morning show until like 11 a.m. when this kicks off and everything. If they got there late, would they still be able to attend the event?
Yeah, usually the first 10 minutes are like every other meeting.
Right.
Yeah, it takes about 10 minutes.
I've attended a few of those. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So if they want to attend, please do. The National Guard is the one that puts it on because they have their own honor crew, and they participate in many, many events around the area, so they're familiar with that. Oh, and getting back to the December 7th deal, that's quite a ceremony because we have Navy vets that raise the flag and lower the flag that was flown over the USS Arizona.
Wow. Man, wow. That's amazing.
That's emotional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 21-gun salute and, caps. Yeah.
So, just you even saying it, I felt something. I can't imagine when it's actually happening. Yeah,
it is. Mm. It's cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, getting back to where we were. The 14th is the VFW VVA Christmas party at the Ridges. And on Sunday, December 15th, was the official end of the war in Iraq in 2011.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Another big one. Another big day to know.
Yeah, and wasn't that like just yesterday or a couple
of years? Yeah, right. Wow. It feels like it was just yesterday. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and on December 15th, Sunday, is Bill of Rights Day, was declared in 1941. Battle of the Bulge was on December 16th.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so a lot of World War stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then on December 19th, the VFW Post 2534's monthly meeting at 6. And December 20th, Panama campaign began in 1989. Mm-hmm. And on the 31st, the Kosovo campaign ended in 2013.
Jeez. Wow.
So,
if you're into history, world history, and especially American history, December is the month.
Like, yeah,
there's a lot of stuff there, in December to look at, and for us to honor and remember. We're not here without it.
Exactly.
You know, any one of these things Tom mentioned, we're not here without any of this. So we appreciate that, Tom. Appreciate these notes. And we will be talking about these as we get closer to these events and reminding people about them. But we get an early reminder, and people can mark these on their calendars because you take the time to come in. You do the homework getting all these together. Really do appreciate it, Tom.
Well, I appreciate it. It's actually fun to, you know, to do that, to look at history and go, wow, that was then? I
mean, Yeah. It's wild to think of. And we look forward to every month you coming in. Thank you so much for being here, Tom. Appreciate the time.
No problem. We appreciate that, you know, giving us the time. And, oh, that December 7th, again, we are one of the few VFW posts in the state that still have that ceremony. So
that's really cool.
Central Wisconsin is really veteran friendly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. Absolutely. And something to keep in mind. And Tom, if people have questions about anything we brought up today, would have any follow-ups, how can they reach you?
Okay, pen and pencil. 715-600-0401 is the VFW phone number, and our commander answers that, and we'll answer any questions that you have and help you out.
All right.
Appreciate that, Tom. Mm-hmm. And just another quick shout-out. Go to civicmedia.us, go under shows, find Community Stories with Melissa Kay, find that pilot episode and everything. You can listen
all
to that interview.
All the episodes,
interview we were touching on there and such.
We're still in the middle of the veteran series with Community Stories, and actually this week on Tuesday is the post commander of VFW Post 25, Sean Plant.
Very good.
Very cool. Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the next month talking with you again, sir. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate you.
No problem. I appreciate it. And Melissa, good job on that, because she does have some lady veterans as well.
Yes, right.
It's not just, you know, this is not cigar-smoking guys all the time.
Right. Looking forward to that. We'll be back after a news break right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa, Seth, and James hanging out with you. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. A big shout out to Beth and Tim joining us, kicking off our Monday.
Tom,
did I say Tim?
Yeah,
I said Tom. I was just thinking about Tim. Tim Hubble from the Polka
Right.
Show.
Yeah, I mentioned that. Yes, I did.
Tom, we appreciate both of them joining us and kicking off this 9 o'clock hour for us. We dive into some entertainment news, and we have to kick off in our entertainment section with Mowick. Mowick.
He's so determined.
I'm going to make this happen.
Well, said nobody but James.
Nobody. Well, they tried to, I forget what they were calling it. They were trying to do this with Gladiator and Wicked.
Yeah.
And they had a name for it.
Glicked.
Stupid, yeah.
And as Seth was touching on, and I think we've all noted a little bit here and there, this is what happens when they try to do it, and they don't let it just happen organically.
Right. Fail.
Now, Gladiator, looking at the, we're going to look at the weekend box office numbers real quick. Number five, did you have something, Melissa?
Well, I was just going to ask what your acronym stands for, because that's the thing. The Glicked doesn't really tell you what it is. Barbenheimer was very obvious what the two movies were.
Yeah. I'll get it in a second.
All right.
Number four. Red One grossed $76 million in its third week release. Not bad.
Not bad.
Did pretty well. Gladiator 2, the one that was supposed to kind of take the top spot, actually finished in third this week in its second week in release, $111 million. Okay. Wicked in its second weekend release, it came at $226 million. Its weekend gross of $80 million is total at $226 million.
Wow.
It's doing very well.
Very well.
Mm-hmm. And Moana 2 came in at number one in its first week of release at $221 million total gross. Weekend gross of $136 million.
Wow.
So real quick note, the holiday movies are seeing movies on the holidays seems to be back.
Okay.
We just noted earlier about some movies that are coming out on Christmas Day. They hadn't done that much since the pandemic. This used to be a big tradition in my family. I wanted to give my mom and dad some time to themselves, so I would take my brother and sister to the movies. It's where we went and saw Jumanji the first time, and basically all the Lord of the Rings movies came out around Christmas.
It's true, they did. Yeah.
So we went and saw those, and it was always fun.
That's a good chunk of time, too.
Yeah.
Now, what happened here was this Wicked and Gladiator came out last weekend, and so that's where they were trying with the Glicked or whatever. Yep. Now, this weekend, Moana came out, and a lot of people went to see Moana and then Wicked. That was happening in a lot of major cities. So, Moana, Wicked, Mo-Wick.
Mo-Wick.
Mo-Wick. Oh, I see.
I actually like Mo-Wick, yeah.
It's not that bad. It's better than Wicked.
Yeah, no kidding.
And it deserves a name because Moana 2 and Wicked created the best Thanksgiving box office in 12 years.
Wow. Mm. Interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's pretty
good. And both of those are kid-friendly shows.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Because when I went to see Wicked last weekend, there were a ton of kids there.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool to hear.
That's cool. That's very neat that, you know... If we always say this, if Hollywood would, you know, get their act together and figure stuff out, man, why don't they have more family type movies?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one that everyone can go to, because like Melissa said, yeah, there's a lot of adults that love Wicked, right? Mm-hmm. But it's also one, you know, take your kids with. They love it. Kids like musicals. They really do. So that makes a lot of sense.
And especially when it's so colorful and vivid, and it's a story that they're somewhat familiar with, so the characters Wizard of Oz, aren't necessarily completely foreign to them.
Yeah, exactly. Makes sense.
This was the biggest boost for the health of the theater since the COVID. For theater since COVID. Movie theaters.
Yes. Wow. That's pretty interesting.
Pretty interesting and a pretty big weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And a big weekend for Dolly Parton, as we have to mention this, as we are the home for Dolly Parton news. If you hadn't heard, Dolly Parton was just named the greatest country artist of all time by Billboard.
Woo-hoo.
Wow.
Now, this, of course, like anything nowadays, was met with some controversy for some. But as for the top spot, no one could argue. There was a lot of controversy about this, except for the top spot. Nobody had any argument with that. And I think that's kind of cool.
Because how can you argue with Dolly being at the
serious,
top?
Seriously.
You just can't.
That's pretty cool, though, actually. And here's what she had to say when she found out about the honor. Well, y'all, no. I wish I could do a Dolly. I just learned that Billboard Magazine just released their list of country music's greatest artists of all time, and they have my name sitting at the top. Can you believe that? You can hear her saying that. You can hear her.
Yeah.
Now, when I was a little girl, I would sit around the radio and listen to the Grand Ole Opry and hearing all those great big artists like Hank Williams, Kitty Wells, and Johnny Cash, and I dreamed of what my life could actually become as well. She closed it out by thanking her fans and saying, I take none of this for granted, so thank you for giving me the opportunity to see my dreams come true.
She has never taken anything for granted.
No.
Yeah.
Ever. No, she's a hard worker.
She knows
she
her
worked
roots
for everything that she has gotten.
There are people, I mean, we've heard the stories, you know, rags to riches and that stuff. There are very few people were as, like, desperately poor as she was growing up. Like, literal little dirt floor in the house she lived in, kind of thing. I mean, it's really remarkable.
I think you can make the argument in all of entertainment, but especially in music, she may be the best story. The best story of coming from nothing, of rags to riches, of all of that. Yeah.
Almost purely on her talent. Yeah.
Right. And then not being, like, having her head turned over it.
No.
You know, she's kept her head on her shoulders the whole time, to my knowledge.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Same. And I will say, too, nothing against artists that make it nowadays or even in the last 20 years or anything like that. But making it now and making it back then... Completely different universe.
Absolutely.
Completely different.
Yep.
Speaking as we're talking about Wicked a little bit and everything, you might think that Judy Garland earned the most in The Wizard of Oz, being the main character and everything, but that is quite wrong. Now, the three of us would know better.
Yes, we would know that, yeah.
Judy made $9,600, which would amount to about close to, $200 mil or $200,000, nowadays and stuff, $218,000 to be exact.
Okay.
It was considered a lot at the time and was a raise for Judy, who went from making $100 a week at MGM to $500 a week.
Wow.
But Margaret Hamilton, who played the Wicked Witch of the West, made $21,000, which would be over $476,000 nowadays.
Wow.
Partly because she was a Broadway star, but also because she suffered burns from the filming a scene with fire.
Yeah.
So that laid into it a little bit there. The studio kept her on salary for 6 weeks. She spent healing. So that was part of that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm. That's a little surprising to some. It also saved them a lawsuit.
That's true, too.
And it might surprise you that the scarecrow made the most of all at $72,000, which would equal out about $1.63 million today.
Wow.
Ray Bolger was already a star and had performed on Broadway and Radio City Music Hall. So that was part of the reason for that. Mm-hmm. And he was a man. And that's 100%. Just that, like, as horrible as that sounds and everything, that's the way they did things back then.
That's the way they did it.
Yeah. Back then, they're still doing it now. James.
That's very true.
Well, still doing it now.
Hang on, Melissa. Let me look. No, you're right. Yep, never mind. Completely right. 100% right.
Boy, you know, if there was and I like the original Wizard of Oz, I think it's one of the better movies ever made. Really, it really is. But if you read about the making of it and some of the stuff that Judy had to go through, and
they starved the poor girl during that movie.
Some of the stuff we're talking about now about the salaries and stuff and who got paid. I mean, it's a really sad
poison
story.
In the makeup. The first Tin Man was not.
Yeah,
able
it was Buddy
continue.
Epson.
I mean, there was a lot. Yeah. There was a lot that happened in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Anybody who's seen Heart of Darkness will tell you that it may be more interesting than the movie Apocalypse Now. It's about the making of
Apocalypse Now,
and the nightmare of that and everything. The Wizard of Oz tops that. Mm-hmm. The Wizard of Oz, the making of that movie, tops Apocalypse Now, tops almost anything Werner Herzog went through and did to his
Fitzcarraldo.
Yeah, you know, things like that. Yeah. Like, it is a nightmare of a movie to the point where I have a hard time watching it, to be honest.
I can understand that.
But I'm one of those weirdos that I'm watching a movie and I'm also dissecting it to try to see what, you know, the prop person was doing here and what kind of graphics they were using over there and stuff. So I can't separate the two. And when I'm watching it, I can't help but think of these actors
what
they went through and everything.
Well, makes sense.
And when we know those things, like as you're a kid, like I loved that movie when I was a kid. Another mm-hmm. one I really adored as a child was Milo and Otis. Mm-hmm. And I watched it again now as an adult, and I was like, wow, how did they get these animals to do... Hold up.
Hold up.
And then I started to look into it, and I was like, there really isn't anything documented, but you can just imagine.
I mean,
knowing what we know now.
And what Melissa, you know, your point, Melissa, about, you know, the glass ceiling and everything, that's very well taken. But imagine, I mean, especially Judy was still a teenager mm-hmm. when that was, and child actors and animal actors, how badly they've been treated throughout the years. And I mean, it's like,
So things are changing for the positive. You know, we are making progress. We need to keep going.
Let's keep it going.
Real quickly, want to mention that your favorite Muppet podcast has a new episode today. What the Muppet dropped a new episode.
It's a Monday.
Episode 68, our top 5 favorite Muppets.
This had to be hard for you.
My gosh.
I have never actually been angry at my kids. This was as close as I've ever been.
How dare you? How dare you?
I do want to not only thank the audience for enjoying the episodes with us and everything. We're getting close to wrapping up the second season. It's going to be a while. We're going to take a little hiatus here and everything. So I just want to thank everybody that enjoyed the episode, put up with me talking about it on the air. That includes my co-hosts. And it was a lot of fun. Be sure to check it out, everybody. And please, if you are listening to the episodes, we want your top 5. I want others to suffer. I mean, enjoy. I really do.
It's a hard list to make.
Little teaser for everybody here. Apparently, Super Grover and Grover are two separate things. Well, apparently.
That's what you came up with?
Well, okay. Yes. James was very passionate, apparently, in this episode. My goodness. Man.
Check out What the Muppet wherever you get your podcast, everybody. And thank you again so much to all of you. And a special thank you to Bria Hoyt and the amazing job she does.
Absolutely.
And get your tickets for White Christmas, Irving Berlin's White Christmas. It premieres this week, everybody.
Yes.
Wow.
Thursday.
Crazy. That's crazy.
So excited for this one. It
came up so fast.
It did.
This is, of course, being directed by Susan Becker with musical direction by Ben Shitek. Mm-hmm. It has a cast of wonderful, wonderful people. A lot of them you know and you've heard on the air here with us.
That's true.
Yeah, Beth's in it.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And some you're going to hear a little bit later with us as we're going to have a couple of the cast members on for Midday Magazine today.
Ooh.
Nice.
That'll be how we kick things off.
Very cool.
They've got production dates on the 5th, the 6th, and the 7th of this month, and then they're coming back on on the 12th, 13th, and 14th.
All right.
Oh, wow. So Thursday through Saturday, both weekends?
That you got it.
Yeah, that is cool. The new schedule at WRCT. Yep. Mm-hmm. And we encourage you to not only get your tickets for it, but get tickets and check out some great other great stuff coming up, like Arsenic and Old Lace has auditions on December 16th and 17th.
It's on the way.
Mark your calendars for that. And the Elf Tea Party that is going to be taking place on December 8th
from 1 to 4.
That's going to be fun.
My goodness.
And they're going to have their first ever children's theater Christmas program on December 20th. There are so many great things going on. Find out more. Follow Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater on social media and share their things on your pages. And, of course, get your tickets and more at wrctheater.org, wrctheater.org.
All right.
We will take time out, come back, and wrap up the show. Morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa, Seth, and James here with you. We got to run. We got to take it to the top of the hour.
No, I'm not running.
Okay. We gotta,
No.
We got to slowly, briskly leave. We got to...
we will take it fast to walk run.
I will frolic, but I will not run.
We will be frolicking off at the top of the hour here, of course. But we before that, want to get to a couple of fun things. We've got some local events we want to get to and other things. But first, dictionary.com has their word of the year.
All right.
What has been your word of the year? We will keep this open into throughout the whole week here. I want to hear from you out there. What is your word of the year? Keep in mind, we are a PG show.
Yeah, come on now.
Dictionary.com just announced theirs, and it is demure. Demure.
Demure.
Demure. D-E-M-U-R-E.
Oh, that's not the one I saw.
Mm.
Which became a popular meme on TikTok if you spend a lot of time online. Writing, you might have come across this one already. Mm-hmm. They picked it out They picked it over other virtual sensations like brat and brain rot and weird. Just the word weird.
Brain rot is the Oxford Dictionary word of the year.
Oh, okay. Oh, interesting. Yep.
That's why I was laughing.
They all got to have their own words. You know.
Yeah. Demure had a meteoric rise in usage this year, especially this summer. It was up 1,200% between January and August.
Wow.
And used sarcastically.
Yes.
That's a weird word to use sarcastically.
Their word of the year last year was hallucinate. I didn't remember.
Oh, really? I don't remember that.
Now, that's a reference to the rise of chatbots and AI and everything.
AI hallucinating. Gotcha. Mm. That makes sense. Okay.
Some of those pictures were weird.
Most of these are seldom relevant to us, so I always like, what your word of the year is out there, everybody. I want to hear from you out there, what you think it is, what you prefer, what maybe it is.
Yeah.
Can I nominate one?
Please.
Wackadoo.
Oh, good one.
It's been a wackadoo year.
Wackadoo is...
I like it. See, that's what I think. So they seem to do this with the word that may have risen up or been used a lot in our lexicon and all that. And they find when they search on social media or something. I always thought, and at least I feel like, what Melissa just did is the way to do it. What's a word that you think perfectly describes the year?
Oh, that would be good, yeah.
They're being very specific about words we actually used this year.
Right.
And ones that we maybe didn't use much in years past, we used a lot this year. I like the idea of finding a word that perfectly sums up the year or tries to sum up the year. And I think Melissa just did it.
She nailed it. Wackadoo.
That's good.
Yeah. That's good. Fun.
WFHR, word of the year.
Perfect. We'll have our own.
We need our own dictionaries. Yes, we need.
Get on that social media team.
Oh, okay.
I didn't mean you.
But right now I am the team.
Check it out at our newsletter.com.
Yeah, there you go.
You can find this article if you'd like at dictionary.com. Encourage you to go check it
out. Or sign up for our newsletter at WFHR.com.
Be sure to do so. Got a new one coming up this week, everybody.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got some local events we want to touch on and get into our schedule. And looking at our schedule, we got good things coming up for you. Matt and Air on Air at the top of the hour. Mm-hmm. Jane and Greg have had some time off. They're going to be coming in fresh and ready to go. They got a great show lined up for you today. Be sure to join us a little bit later today for the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 to 4. Maggie's been just doing a great job. Mm-hmm. Been amazing, really. And then from 4 to 5, Midday Magazine.
Yeah.
As I mentioned before, we kick off the week with our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
We're going to have Beth, Leo, and maybe Sue in with us.
I think Sue I saw out there. I saw Daniel. Yeah.
Oh, very cool. Yeah. Okay. So we'll have some people with
us.
There'll
be a crowd.
Yes.
Yes.
Not Samuel Peeps, just Peeps.
Just Peeps.
Theater folks.
Nicely done, son. Nicely. Let's call back. We're going to preview White Christmas for everybody and let you know what's in store for that. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Get you excited to get those tickets.
Yeah.
In part two today at 4:30, one of our favorite people to talk to, Rock Larson, Wood County Veteran Services Officer.
Ooh-hoo.
Always love talking with Rock. Yep. He's going to be in. Talk with about Veteran Service update from Rock.
Always important.
Looking forward to that. As I mentioned, get your tickets for Irving Berlin's White Christmas. Yep. They premiere this week, everybody.
Yes.
Get those.
Tickets are going fast, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So make sure you get your tickets now.
Holiday shows go fast.
They do.
They
do.
Just do in general. Mm-hmm. In a big holiday
and it's
show.
It's a big cast.
Yeah.
Yeah, big show.
A lot of people. So go and get really those tickets for that. Seth, wanted to remind everybody as well about when Tom was in with us earlier.
Yes. The take two.
Start again.
Action. Flag folding and honors rendering training. This is by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs and the Military Funeral Honors Program. It's coming up Friday, the 13th of December from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Donald J. Knuth Memorial Hall. That is VFW Post 2534, 2711 Redden Road in Wisconsin Rapids. This is training session. It is free to participate. It's good training to have for all Honor Guard members as well. So that's everyone is included on that one. And like James was saying, it's something I learned in Scouts is how to correctly fold the flag. Mm. And also playing bugle for different honor guards for the VFW I grew up at. I played taps at many funerals. So that was always one of my favorite parts is when they took the flag and they folded it and they gave it to the next of kin. That's always one of my favorite parts of a military funeral because it's got such meaning behind it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so this is a great way to learn how to actually correctly fold the flag, which I think is really important.
I think it's a cool thing too to get a little bit of the behind the scenes and have a little.
Absolutely.
It gives a little more detail, which gives a little more respect, I think, to it. Mm-hmm.
And it never hurts to look into the flag code. I mean, there is so much that
there's
that
a lot in there. Yep.
There's a lot in there that isn't being adhered to.
No, it's not.
In
it really isn't.
Day and age. So it doesn't hurt to look into because I mean it symbolizes our country and the freedoms that we enjoy.
If we're going to if we're going to do this right, we need to respect that thing the right way. And what Melissa said needs to be known by every American. Every American should know exactly the rules and the regulations of our flag and how we should be respecting and treating it.
Properly care for it. Yep.
These Orr Funsters have their Festival of Trees going on still.
Woo! That it's going. It opened Friday, I believe.
Yeah. Yes, it did.
Yeah. Just a reminder to everybody, it is going till December 8th. Be sure to check it out. You can find out more at zorrshriners.com, zorrshriners.com. We're currently here in Wisconsin Rapids. They're at the Messianic Center. 2321 2nd Avenue South, right here in Rapids. Again, find out more and check it out. Zorrshriners.com, zorrshriners.com.
It's a lot of fun. Week from 1 to 7.
And just a quick reminder to everybody out there, especially in this giving season with Giving Tuesday tomorrow. I know so many of you are going to give to our local nonprofits out there, and I greatly thank you for that, and they thank you even more for that. But if I know that there are a lot of people out there that like to give but don't have maybe the funds to be able to do it, and you want to be able to put back into your community. There are a lot of nonprofits out there that you can volunteer at. Our United Way of Southwood and Ames Counties has 211 you can call to find out more about those. If I might recommend our Aging and Disability Resource Center of Central Wisconsin, the ADRC, and things like Meals on Wheels or packaging meals or helping out with their dinners. Yep. There are so many different ways you can help out, and they greatly could use individuals. Man, this time of year, dropping these meals off, if you're able to do it, it's not just the meal, and it's not just making a new friend. It is impactful as we get in these colder months and everything. There's a
Very
lot of
so.
Layers to something like this, and it's something that's so easy to do.
It is.
Whatever you
got. A little
got,
bit of time.
If you just got a little bit of time, they will work with you on your schedule and help you figure it out. Find out more and find out if you can be a volunteer at adrc-cw.org, adrc-cw.org. Looking at some world good stories, a woman in Alaska named Esher Sandelin helped make sure that neighbors in remote areas had a happy Thanksgiving by airdropping them frozen turkeys as she flew by in her plane.
I hope that came with a pre-warning.
Yeah, I really do.
Just so you know, 20-pound turkey coming your way.
Coming your way.
It's kind of like a cannonball.
As God is my witness, I thought turkeys could fly.
especially frozen turkey. I love the idea of thinking that. Yeah.
Anybody that gets that reference, thank you. Thank you. And a 74-year-old retired Marine in Iowa named John Renkart is in the news after decorating every house on his block with Christmas lights.
Oh, wow.
He did it. He does it for his wife, who loves Christmas and was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 4 years ago. He says he'd do anything to make her happy.
Aww.
A bunch of people ended up pitching in to help him with it, and his neighbors are returning the favor by setting up a P.O. box where you can send Christmas cards for him to read to her.
Aww.
Oh, that's sweet. So touching.
Yeah.
If you would like this address, I'm going to read it on the air here, but go ahead and feel free to email me, direct message us on our Facebook pages, or just email me directly, james.maloff@civicmedia.us, and I will get you this address. It is John Reichart, C.O. Frank Ewers, P.O. Box 133, Indianola, Iowa, 50125. Okay. That's and I don't expect anybody to have been able to write that down, so please feel free to reach out to me.
Right.
Otherwise, if you just throw this one into your search engine, retired Marine in Iowa decorates neighborhood,
right.
Things like that. You'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely doing this. I am definitely
really
doing
cool.
this. I'm definitely. And I'm going to use our stationery. I'm going to make sure that
hey, excellent.
Our station
yeah.
here and everything.
That's perfect.
And CNN did a big story on how bald Reddit might be the nicest place on the internet. Guys post photos and ask if it's time to just buzz their head. And a lot also post before and after shots, and the whole vibe is very, very, very supportive.
How cool is that?
We seem to have none of this on the internet, but hey, thank you, Reddit,
yes.
And specifically Bald Reddit, for a good
Love
story
it.
To talk about online.
That's
There's
great.
There's a few threads on there that are just really uplifting, and their moderators do a great job of keeping it that way, which
very
kudos
good.
To them, because that's a lot of work.
It's one of the few sites that I go to quite often still. Like, I don't know if there's many that I hit up as much as I used to, but that's one of the ones I still do, and mainly because of the moderators. Most of the people doing a really good job of keeping those things in check.
That's right.
I do want to remind everybody a little bit later today, we got Playmakers from 5 to 6. We are going to have a lot of fun today. Got a good show lined up for you. I can't imagine what we'll talk about.
Nothing happened in sports this weekend. Not a thing.
We will be talking about quite a bit. Get your phone calls ready to call up for that show. Big shout out to Quality Plus Printing, and of course our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, who gave us some tickets to give away.
Woo!
We're going to be giving away River King tickets tonight. Be listening for that and plenty more during Playmakers from 5 to 6.
Yep.
Great show, you two.
You too, man.
You too, James.
Welcome back. Yes, welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
Have a great day, everyone. We'll talk to you sooner than later. Right, you're at.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.